Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I want to preach a little while on the subject seeing the unseen. I'm not talking about ghosts. I'm not talking about goblins. I'm not talking about spirits. But the Bible tells us for the child of God, we have four eyes. We have two eyes in this physical body, but then also we have two eyes to see the spiritual world. And so if you have your Bible with you, would you stand please as we'll read, if you can, and it not be a hindrance and a hurt. I know it's hard to get up and down sometime, but we do that out of reverence for the Word of God, beginning in verse number 10 of Matthew chapter number 13. Now, the disciples came to the Lord, and the disciples said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" The word parable is a Greek word, parabola, meaning to cast alongside. And what a parable is, it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And when Jesus spoke in parables, what he was doing was that he was putting it down to where everybody could understand it. But those that were so spiritually minded, it went right over their head. And so the disciples said, "Lord, why do you always speak in parables?" Notice in verse 11, and he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." I'll stop there just a second. The mysteries. A mystery is something that has been hid for a time, but now is revealed. And the Lord said unto the disciples, "I have hid these things, but now you've known these things. You've known the mysteries of the kingdom." There are two phrases, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, that occurs in the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll not preach that this morning, but I just want to tell you that the kingdom of heaven includes saved and lost people. You say, "Preacher, do you believe there's saved and lost people here this morning?" I believe there's saved and lost people in every church, in every congregation. I can't point them out. I don't know who they are. But the Bible says that Jesus said that there were 12 disciples and one of them was not saved. Judas was never saved. I believe this, beloved, and you study the Word of God, the kingdom of heaven includes saved and lost individuals. Kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins. Kingdom of heaven is like in wheat and tares, and it goes on. And so what I'm saying to you today is that be sure you are saved. Now, read on. And he said, but to them it is not given, for whosoever hath it to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Whosoever hath not, to him, for him shall be taken away, even that hath. Therefore, here's this verse I want you to see. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Thank you. You may be seated as we pray together. Heavenly Father, I need your help today. Lord, all is in vain unless the Spirit of God take the simple message that we're going to try to bring, and Father, that you might use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of heaven. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we might live with eternity values in mind. Lord, we're moving through this world at a rapid pace. Father, help us to see the things you'd help us to see. Lord, I pray that you'd open the eyes of our understanding. We might behold the things of God. I pray this morning for spiritual illumination. May the Holy Ghost of God shine the light of the gospel under these pages. May he prick the heart. Maybe there's a church member sitting here this morning that has gone through the motions and yet never, ever truly been born again. They know that. The Spirit of God has dealt with their heart. They know that. Lord, I cannot convince them, but you can. I pray, Heavenly Father, their spiritual eyes of understanding would be opened. Bless the message. Not the way in which we try to deliver it, not the oratorical ability, but Holy Ghost, I pray that you'd unctionize it this morning and use it for the furtherance of the gospel in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Hold your Bible open there, beloved. I'll ask you maybe to turn some other passages today. But as we look in the Word of God today, as I mentioned, the title of the message is Seeing the Unseen. Now, we know that there are some things that it takes a spiritual eye to see and to understand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 17 and 18, Paul said, the things that are seen are temporal. You look around you today, you can see the pews, you can see the walls, you can see the piano, you can see the choir. Those things are temporal. Those things, my friend, can and will pass away. What you cannot see, I believe this, and by an amen, would you say with me this morning, that there is a spiritual warfare going on that you and I cannot see. Say amen. We today, if we could open our eyes of spiritual understanding, I believe you would see the forces of evil and the demons of hell that are trying their best to destroy, disrupt, and to steal the seed of God's Word. I've had it happen before. I've been in places before that I know that the demonic forces of hell have done their best to try to rob the seed that God is trying to plant in somebody's heart. But now notice, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, the things that are seen are temporal. They will pass away. However, he says that there are things that are unseen and they are eternal. I was out visiting one time, knocking on doors as a young person in Bible college, and a group of Jehovah's Witnesses were on the other side of the street. May I say to you today that those that do not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven and do not believe that there is a literal hell, regardless of what good things people may do, it is a cult. And so these people were walking the other side of the street. I was walking on this side. I was a young man and didn't have a lot of Bible knowledge. And as we got down, our paths crossed. And I really didn't want to cross paths, but they crossed. And this is what they said unto me, "You believe in a literal hell?" And I said, yes, the Bible teaches there is a literal hell. All those that agree with that say amen. Amen. I believe, my friend, and I'm not even getting to the message, but that's okay. I believe that if this morning you could peel this carpet back and go beneath these floor joists and go into the heart of the earth, you would find the abode of the damned. You'd find the region of hell. Hell is a jailhouse. Stepped out Friday night and I thought they done caught me. There was a cop car sitting out here, and come find out, JC. Hallelujah, praise God. I had the Mustang, amen. I'll leave it at that. But if you get arrested, they'll take you down to the jailhouse and lock you up in a jailhouse. Now, why do they do that? They're waiting for your court date. They're waiting till you appear before the judge, and then the judge will issue out a sentence. And sometimes those that have committed capital crimes, once the jury finds them guilty, then the judge will look at them and sentence them to prison. Now, may I ask you something? Is prison and jail, do people go free? No, they don't. Are they two different places? Yes, they are. Would you like to be in either one? No, I wouldn't. But you see, the jail is a holding place. The prison is a permanent place. Some people are there for the rest of their lives. Now the Bible says in the book of Revelation that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And here's what I want you to understand. When these Jehovah's Witnesses came to me, and I'll ask Gail this question that they asked me. Revelation 19 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Miss Gail, this morning, can you see death? Yes or no? Not a trick question. No, you can't. You cannot see death. And so, and they went on to say, well, then death is, in that passage in Revelation 19, is symbolic. And they try to stump me up. And Josh, this is what they were saying. If death is symbolic, by the way, you cannot see death. You can see a dead person. You can see a dead bird. You can see a dead animal. You cannot see death. But we know it exists, right? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. These Jehovah's Witnesses went on to say to me, well, then if you can't see death and you can't touch it, and so it must be symbolic, and so it is like hell. It is symbolic. There is no real place of torment. And of course, as a young man, I could not answer them. But I finally understood, and through the help of some other people. What is he saying? When a man commits a crime today, he goes to jail. That is hell, as in a spiritual sense. You see, my friend, when a man or a woman or boy, girl, after they have reached the age of accountability, and you say, what age is that? Mystical age. Some people used to say it's 12 years old. There is no mystical age. I say this for a young person, when they know the difference between right and wrong, when they know there's a heaven and a hell and a Jesus, they need to be saved. If they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't care. Whatever their age is, then they need to be saved. But there is a place of eternal torment. You agree with that? Say amen. A man dies today, there is no second chance, there's no coming back. I mean, it is a real place of fire. It is a real place of agony. I think it was Brother Jimmy asked me Wednesday night about what kind of body does a person have in hell. I said, it is a body of pain. It is a body that is corruptible. You see, my friend, when a man or woman dies without Jesus Christ and goes into hell, they'll feel every pain in this life as well as in the life that is to come. You believe that? Say amen. Just as we that know Christ, when we die, as we sung that song a while ago, thank God there's coming a day when there's no sorrow, no pain, no hurt. There'll not be any shots. There'll not be any doctors. There'll not be anything and no death. For the child of God, we go into eternal bliss. For the lost man, he goes into eternal torments. Now, with that being said, we cannot see the spiritual today, but we know it exists. And Paul here, I want you to give you, in the time we got, probably just a couple of things, and we'll try to finish this up. But I want you to notice something. There are some things we cannot see. We cannot see into hell this morning, but we know hell exists. We cannot see into heaven this morning, but thank God I know it exists. Amen. Amen. Help me out. How do you know it exists? Is this or is this not God's inspired living word today? Amen. Is there anything in this book that's a lie? No, it's all truth. And if Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell, it must be there. Amen. We can't see it with these physical eyes, but we can see it with spiritual eyes. Paul went on to say this, that we have the eyes of the soul. Now, here's a good illustration of that. In Genesis chapter 13, we have an example of Abraham and Lot. You know the story, I hope you do, that it came time, their herds came so large, and they came time for them to separate, and Abraham looked over to his nephew and said, Lot, I'm going to give you first crack at this. I'm going to let you choose which direction you want to go in. Lot looked around and he saw the well-watered plains toward Sodom. And Lot said, I'm going to choose those because I'm a sheep herder, I'm a cattleman, I need well-watered plains to increase my herd, and so that's what he chose. He saw the fertile soil and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Abraham, on the other hand, pitched his tent in the opposite direction. He pitched his tent toward the city whose builder and maker was God. Now, did Abraham ever see the city of God? No, sir, not down here. But he saw it the moment that he breathed his last breath down here. He saw the celestial city of God. You see, Lot was looking at the temporal. Abraham looking at the eternal. And so with that in mind, I won't have time, I won't scare you to death this morning. I'll give you about two or three and we'll go home. Number one, what are seeing the unseen? Notice, write these down. We'll turn, if you have your Bible, want to turn with me. If you don't want to turn, sit there and look like you want to. All right. Genesis chapter number 21. There's an unseen well. An unseen well. You can write them down, go back and look them up this afternoon if you like to. I'll read it to you. I'll tell you the story. In Genesis chapter number 21 and beginning in verse number 16, the Bible said, and she went and set her down against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of this child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Here's the story. Abraham and Sarah desired to have a child. And Sarah knew that her childbearing days were over, physically speaking. And Sarah convinced Abraham to take his handmaid by the name of Hagar and to have a child by Hagar. Now, it was customary in biblical times to do that. I mean, many people had children by their slave, so to speak. And so what Sarah was inviting Abraham to do was not out of the ordinary. The only problem was that was not God's will for them. God was for Sarah to have a baby by the name of Isaac. But Abraham listened to his wife, figured that if she's not going to bear a child, then we'll have one anyway. And so he went into Hagar. Hagar conceived and bare. Y'all know what his name was? Ishmael. By the way, how many of you know Ishmael is the father of what race today? Anybody know that? Don't be ashamed. It's the father of the Arab nation. And God said that when Ishmael was born, that his hand would be against everyone else's. He would be a warrior. And it is true today that the Muslim nation, the Arab nation, is at war. And my friend, if you don't know this by now, they want to wipe out Christianity. They want to wipe out the things of God. They want to bring in their brand of religion. If you didn't know that, you need to know it. They use the word caliphate. And what that is a cleansing. And they look at us and say we're infidels because we don't believe in Mohammed and Allah. My friend, the Bible said there is but one way to heaven, that's through Jesus, not through Mohammed. And so now here's the story. Abraham, after the child was born and things didn't work out right, Abraham packed a lunch for Hagar and said, it's time for you to go. You're going to have to hit the road. You got to get out of here, get out of Dodge. And he kicked her out along with the baby. And she journeyed for a ways and sat down according to Genesis 21, verse 16. And she said, we're going to die. Me and the baby are going to die. We're going to starve to death. We're going to thirst to death. There's no water. We're out in the desert. But the Lord heard her cry. And this is what the Bible said. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and saw a well of water, and she went, filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad to drink. You see, here she was when she had reached her extremities, and there was no way under heaven they were going to survive. They were going to thirst to death. They were out in the hot, dry desert. And she cried to the Lord out of desperation. And she said, Oh God, we're going to die out here. And God, here's what the Bible said. God heard the cries of the lad, heard the cries of the baby, and had compassion on the baby. And said, Wait a minute, Hagar. He will become a great nation. And he has become a great nation. The nation, the Arab nation, is a great nation. But now notice something, what he said. I will open up a well. And there the Bible said she opened her eyes. God opened her eyes, and there was a well of water. And she ran over and filled up her bottle with water and gave to her son, and their thirsty mouths were quenched. How many of you have ever really, really, really been thirsty? I'm talking about, have you ever really been so thirsty before that your mouth begins to crack and your tongue like sticks to the roof of your mouth? Have you ever been to the point of dehydration, to where your body has not enough fluid in it? And when you get to that point, you're at the point that you can die. Your heart begins to race. It's trying to beat very fast to pump the blood, and your body is craving water. Do you realize you can go 50 days without food? You can only go 3 days without water. You got to have water. And my friend, here's the Bible said that the Lord heard the voice and the cry of the baby, and God had compassion, and God opened up a well unseen to the natural eye, unseen to the passerby, but God supernaturally opened up a well of water and satisfied the thirst of this woman and her child. Boy, isn't that a blessing? You realize that God can open up a well even in the midst of a desert. Can I tell you something, friend? You know what our problem is in most of our fundamental, independent, Bible-believing churches? Let's just be honest and let's get down to brass facts. We need a fresh anointing of God once again. We need the well of joy to spring up once again. We need the well of blessings to flow once again. I mean, son, if we would be honest with God and honest with ourselves, we have gotten dry and we have gotten dusty. We have forgotten how it feels to cry and beg and plead. Here was a woman that had nothing else except God. She said, Oh God, this child is going to die. I'm going to die. And out of desperation, God opened a well up. You know something? When we get desperate enough, God will open up a well. Say amen. As long as we can do it on our own, as long as we got some money in our pockets, as long as we got some plastic in our pockets, say amen, we don't need God. But when it all runs out and you don't have food on the table and you can't do anything else and the unemployment's done run out, you don't know where the next meals are coming from, you don't know how you're going to pay your rent, make your house payment, my friend, God will open up a well of blessing on you. God, amen. And when he does, give God the glory for it. Because it all belongs to him anyway. And it had not been for that well, she would have died. But thank God, he said, just a minute, let me turn the blinders off. Let me show you what I can do. And my friend, God can and will do the impossible now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to listen. We're just going to put it right out here on the black and white. Sometimes I like that board and sometimes I don't like that board up yonder.
But I got news for you, $326, $62. That won't keep these lights on in here, friend. Hello? No, listen, you know what? I tell you, my friend, you know what? We as God's people, we as Harmony Baptist Church, we need to get on this altar and say, oh God, open up a well of blessing. Pour out your spirit. Anoint me. Use me. Oh God, meet every need. Amen. You say, are you discouraged? No, because this isn't my battle. This is not my church. It all belongs to Him. Amen? Amen. Oh, times are going fast. Let me give you one more. I just can't leave you. There's about seven of these, but I'll preach them all another time. But here's what I want you to see while we're on that thought. I want you to see one more. And would you turn over 2 Kings chapter number 6 for just a second? I like this one. If you would, please turn there just a minute. 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm not trying to put a time frame on here, but we'll be gone just a little bit. Please listen to me. There's an unseen angels. An unseen angels. I was back yonder in the little sound booth, you call it, the other day, and I found the CD that we've used at Christmas time several different times. And to be honest with you, I like it. Now, you may not like it. You may go out of here and throw a rotten tomato at me. But it's called, Angels Unawares? And I know a country group used to sing it. But I like the song. It's talking about going through and meeting an old man and so forth. I can't sing it all. But my friend, can I tell you something? I believe that we entertain angels unawares. Amen. I believe you're looking at a fella. I believe that I've had guardian angels by my side that I didn't realize, and God sent them to protect me and provide and help me out. I believe that. 2 Kings chapter 6, I'll give you the story real quick. The Bible said in verse number 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? The servant went out and then came back to Elisha, and he said, Elisha, oh, we got problems. Oh, we got problems. Well, we've got this whole host of army out yonder. I mean, son, they're more grasshoppers. They look like more than grasshoppers. We're going to die. We're just going to die. We're going to die. Elisha said, don't fear. He said, the Lord, He's already going to take care of it all. And that old servant said, oh, but Elisha, you hadn't seen how many's out yonder. You hadn't seen the host of the enemy out yonder. You hadn't seen all that crowd that wants to destroy us and kill us. Oh, Elisha, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Elisha said, no, wait a minute. This is what he said. In verse number 16, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. Now, let me ask you folks something here. Don't you think that his eyes were already open, wasn't they? I mean, he saw the whole host of this crowd out under the enemy. Did not he have his eyes open? Say amen. Amen. But he didn't have his eyes open, did he? He had his physical eyes open, and all that he could see was the enemy. All he could see was the ones that were going to kill him. All he could see. He didn't see the angelic host of God. And look what the passage says. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha was in Dothan. The Assyrian army had compassed them about. They were getting ready to have them. They were going to kill every last one of them. And the servant came back to Elisha and said, Master, everywhere I look, there's soldiers. Everywhere I go, there's soldiers. Everywhere I turn, there's soldiers. Master, I'm afraid for my life. And Elisha said, wait just a second. And Elisha prayed. Have you ever noticed this? God always shows up when people pray. Amen.
Hey, man, have you ever noticed that God will pull the blinders back when the people pray? And here Elijah prayed, and then he said, go back the second time and look and see what you see this time. And that man went back and he saw a great host of angelic forces. And friend, may I say this morning, in 2012, to Harmony Baptist Church, can I tell you that even though the devil may fight you, and even though Satan may do his best to discourage you, greater is he in you than he that is in the world, and there is no weapon that is formed against me that shall prosper. I'm on the winning side. If I had the choir back up here right now, we'd sing that. I'm on the winning side. The battle has already been won. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But friend, rest assured on the fact that, thank God, there is an angelic host that surrounds the people of God. And thank God, there is nothing that will happen to this old boy by accident or by chance. It all, my friend, is according to the divine will of God. Amen. When it looks like it's the darkest hour in your life and your ship's about to go under, and the waves are beating against the side of it, the master of the sea will calm all your fears. If you but trust him, if you but lean upon him, he'll calm the troubled waters. I want to ask you this morning, is your eyes of understanding opened? Are you looking on the temporal? You might say this morning, you know, preacher, I don't understand, number one, why I'm having it so tough. Preacher, I don't understand. It looks like the harder I try, the further behind I get. Preacher, I don't know where it's all going to add up to. I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. It looks like the devil is trying to destroy everything in our home, our family. Preacher, I just don't understand it all. Can I tell you something? Is it though the sea may rage and though the billows may surround, one speak of his voice will calm every troubled sea of your life. Once you hear him say, peace, be still, and you'll see through the spiritual eyes that God is still on the throne.